of organized crime, crime intelligence, and how we should be using that to tackle particularly issues of gangsterism, violence, organized crime here in Cape Town, but also around the country. Now, between 2012 and 2019, our Men and Women in Blue have seen the national budget for crime fighting increased by more than 50%. So why in that period did we see an increase in murder and robbery and also organized crime like cash in transit vehicle heists? Is money being wasted, or are we not investing in the right people or technology? Or is the case of organized crime tentacles simply just reaching too far and too deep into SAP's intelligence and detective apparatus, keeping them in a step ahead of authorities? Gareth Newham is the head of Justice and Violence Prevention at the Institute for Security Studies. Excuse me for messing up your title there, Gareth, but thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Sure. Do we need to draw a distinction between when we talk about violent crime brought on by violent acts of gangsterism and shootings in our communities, and also then social crime that happens between people who know each other, and that is particularly where we get our cases of assault, cases of sexual violence, and also cases of murder brought on by people who know each other?
Yes, well, there are similar factors that drive both, but if you were to look at the national picture of South Africa and say what drives most of our murder, it appears that that is largely interpersonal in nature. It's young men getting into conflicts, arguments. Often they've been drinking alcohol. We know from mortuary data that the victims of murders, 50% or more, have elevated that alcohol levels. And that argument and fight ends in a murder. So that is one of the key factors driving most of our murders. But that is not the only factor, and it differs quite dramatically from place to place. So in some areas, the issue that's driving murder, certainly when you're talking about gangsterism, would be a gang warfare or gang conflict, where people are fighting for turf or fighting over markets for drugs. And then there's active groups that are going out to attack each other. That can be the same for taxi violence, so different taxi associations start getting into conflict. Illegal mining, you see a lot of murders taking place in that conflict. So there's different reasons that drive murder. And at the root of it is that we have kind of normalized violence in South Africa. We have a very high tolerance for violence. And that normalization of violence, believing that it's a way to solve problems on one hand, and then having a relatively, for a long time now, weak criminal justice system to be able to identify those networks and groups and stop them from doing this, has been the kind of factors driving a high level of violence. And certainly the murder increase since 2012, a 37% year-on-year increase in murder since 2012.
In terms of our police to population ratio, what I've been reading is that South Africa is fairly high in terms of the world average. We have a lot of police officers, seeing to sectors of the population. Is more police officers on the beat, more police officers in uniform, going to solve a high crime problem?
Not necessarily. Certainly the global experience over many decades of policing is that policing numbers tend to go up when there's a fear of crime in the public or growing levels of crime, and then go down once that fear ends or crime goes down. But it's not the cause of the reductions often. Certainly having more police officers can be good, but there's a certain point where just having additional police officers can create more problems than not. And in South Africa, back in 2002, decided that we needed a lot more police officers. Crime had been going up, and there was a lot of concern with crime. So between 2002 and 2012, a period of 10 years, we created additional 68,000 posts in the South African Police Service. So the total number of people in the SAPS grew from 132,000 to around 200,000 in literally 10 years. And to get to that number, we had to reduce the training from 2 years to 1 year. We had to train 7,000 to 9,000 additional people a year when we only have the capacity to properly train 3,000. So what ultimately happened is we pushed through lots of people, didn't give them effective training, and didn't provide necessary management structures for this large influx of police officers. And when you have police officers that are not properly trained, not properly managed, not working to a clear strategy, it doesn't matter how many you have, because they're not going to be effective. So what is now understood, it's not a number of police officers that you have. It's how well they're trained, how professional they are, and how well they are targeting their functions in such a way as to police the right people. In other words, the police in South Africa don't have to police all 60 million people who live in the country. They literally have to police only those that are committing crime, and that number is relatively small because most criminals commit about 80% of all the crime.
And that speaks to our crime recidivism problem, in terms of that we think that because we live in a violent, you know, crime-ridden country, that there are a lot of criminals, when in fact the picture is probably more resemblant of fewer criminals who are perpetrating many crimes.
Yes, indeed. So certainly it's not that everybody's committing crime. It's a relatively small proportion of the population. You're committing most of the crimes. And if the police are able to identify those individuals, networks, and groups and target them, then they would be able to see big reductions in crime in a relatively short period of time. For example, robbery. Robbery is where somebody uses a weapon, like a knife or a firearm, to hold you up in your home or while you're working to work or on the streets or in your business and to steal from you. Now, there's really, really quite a small number of people who actually do this. In Gauteng, when we were doing this kind of study quite a while back, we were looking at about 3,000 people committing about 80% of all the robberies in the province out of a population then of around 12 million people. And when the police at that point, between 2009-11, were able to identify those people and increase the arrest rates dramatically, they managed to reduce car hijacking by 32%, house robberies by 20%, and business robberies by 19% within 2 years. So we know that when the current police that have using their current resources effectively can really achieve great things, but it has to be very targeted and properly driven by intelligence.
So how does then do intelligence services and crime intelligence work into busting for particularly cash in transit gangs? How do they then bust house robbery syndicates? Because many of these of house robberies, you know, also operate in syndicates. How do we bust what appears on the surface maybe economically driven crime, but actually speaks to a broader illicit economy and organized crime structure?
Well, a lot of the people working in people committing organized crimes, whether it's cash in transit heist or it's organized syndicated stealing of vehicles or movement of drugs, are quite networked. They do know each other. They're offshoots and different groups that work across different areas. So once you've kind of infiltrated certain networks, then you can identify the others. And that's why sort of proactive intelligence is so important. They need to be able to start looking at, you know, for example, if you make an arrest at a cash in transit heist, or make arrests there, or if you arrest people who've committed a house robbery, and you do detailed intelligence assessments of them, you download all the information on their cell phones, look at where they live, who they go out with, where they spend their money, you'll start identifying the networks that support them. And that's where you start focusing your policing. And so basically that is what it is. It's about identifying those networks and the people involved in them, because criminals like to hang out with other criminals, and they all sort of benefit when they're working together. So it is about what's called network operations, about being able to identify these groups and how they operate and who belongs to them.
Gareth Newham, he's the head of Justice and Violence Prevention at the Institute for Security Studies. Thanks so much for joining us on the Big Breakfast broadcast.